All right, well, the Lord be with you. Happy Palm Sunday. This is the beginning of the first week, or the final week, rather, of our 40 days together as we began our Lenten journey. And just a few announcements before we begin. If you do have any special prayer needs or prayer requests, would you please go to our website at fellowshipinchrist.org and please go to our prayer wall there, and we would love to continue to minister to you and pray for you during this time. Also, if you are a member of our church, please utilize our online giving option if you would like to give your offerings and tithes. And then last but not least, we will be partaking of communion today. So if you have communion with you at home, we'd like to encourage you to take it with us at the very end of the service today as well. So let us begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time to worship you, Lord, and thank you for this day that we remember and celebrate Palm Sunday. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would lead me during this time, and that those who are here and those who are worshiping, whether it's wherever they're at, Lord, through Facebook Live, Father, I pray that they would feel your power and your Spirit and your presence in their midst today, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of my message today is The Unexpected King. Have you ever had anything happen in your life that may have been unexpected? Well, I'd like to share with you a time whenever I was younger in which something was unexpected in my life, that I had a very high expectation of a certain situation. So I was a really, really big Barney fan whenever I was little. Some of you may have known Barney, the purple dinosaur. Well, whenever I was a little kid, I just absolutely just loved him. I would watch all of his movies. I had the stuffed animal, the toys. And I also had a grandpa, and his name was Jim Bolin, and he was comes from an Irish background. Our family has a lot of Irish in our background. And he called my sister, because she was full-blooded or full redheaded. He would call her his little Blarney, and my sister then started to call him Grandpa Blarney, you know, the Blarney Stone. Well, over time, it just became a running thing that they would all be calling him Grandpa Blarney. So whenever I was little Zach, I heard that we were going to go visit Grandpa Blarney. Well, little kid Zach didn't hear the grandpa part. All he heard was the Blarney. And so what I thought was going to happen was I was going to go meet and see Barney, the purple dinosaur. So we would go, and it'd be like an hour, a couple hour drive, and I was just so excited the entire trip. My mom would even usually have like a TV or a movie set up to where I could watch Barney as we were traveling. So I'd be watching the Barney movies. I'd be so excited that we're going to go see Barney. And then we'd walk in the door. I'd be smiling, looking in. All of a sudden, I'd see my grandpa sitting there. And I would just be so upset and so mad, and I'd say, Mom, you lied to me. You said we were seeing Barney. This isn't Barney. This is Grandpa. And I would just get so upset because my expectations were off. And I think that there are many times in which we, as people, can have a certain expectation in our lives. And whenever that expectation doesn't meet, or I'm sorry, that reality doesn't meet our expectation, that we can usually respond in a very negative way. And I want to offer this thought that to call us to recognize that just because something is unexpected, it doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't good to come out of it, or it doesn't mean that that situation isn't good in and of itself. And that's what I want to point to today when it comes to the unexpected king. Because I want to offer the thought that though they unexpected their king to be as Christ is in this text today, I still think that it's the greatest thing that we possibly could have had. So I'm going to be reading out of one text primarily, but the story can be found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll be reading out of John chapter 12 today, verses 12 to 19, if you'd like to turn there with me. That's going to be John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. And as I said, this is one of the few stories that you can find in all four Gospels. And if you want to look later to study this and see the full story in more depth, you can go to Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11, Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11, Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 44, and then as I said, I will be in John chapter 12 today, verses 12 to 19. So let's read this together. So it's entitled The Triumphal Entry, and it says, "The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, went out to meet him, and cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.' Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.'" So this text is what will primarily be preached on and taught on throughout the world on this Sunday, because this event here speaks to the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, and it's the day of Passion, or the first day of Passion Week, or Holy Week, as some of us may know it as, which this is the final week of Jesus' life and ministry. And in this event, we see that there's this crowd that has gathered in Jerusalem, and they were celebrating a feast for Passover. So this was Passover, a Passover feast on Sunday, and then they heard that Jesus was coming to enter. And what you don't see from this text is how Jesus and his disciples acquired this donkey and colt. And if you go to the other Gospels, you'll see this. But right before that Jesus and the disciples come to Jerusalem, Jesus sends two of his disciples to go find a donkey. And he says that, "Tell them that the Lord is in need of it whenever you see the owner." And so the disciples go and they get this donkey, and then the owner allows them to take it because they said that the Lord has need of it. And then so Jesus gets this donkey and then enters into Jerusalem. And there might be some people as skeptics that would see this text and notice that there's a differentiating point when it comes to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John regarding the donkey and the colt. And that is that some texts will mention a donkey, some will mention a colt, some will mention both. And some will say, see, the authors are getting these mixed up. But instead of thinking of it in that way, we can see that when you read the whole story together, it just gives you greater detail on it. And what it's saying is there is a mother donkey who has her little untamed son colt, which is a male baby donkey, which is what a colt is. And Jesus rode the colt with them, and this would be noticed as going with both the donkey and the colt. So it's not anything that's too hard to reconcile in the text, but it's something that a critic might mention to you whenever you're going through this text together. So you have Jesus entering into Jerusalem, and you have all of this crowd now who is gathered to see Jesus. And then it starts to explain what they start doing whenever Jesus arrives. It says that they start to cut down these palm branches, and they start to take a lot of their clothing, And what they start to do is they start to just lay out these clothes on the street. And they'll wave these palm branches, and then they're also putting these palm branches down on the street. So when Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, he is going and entering with all of these things on his side as like a procession. And what's interesting about this is that whenever you would put palm branches or would lay clothing out, there was something in the Jewish tradition that it had significance for. And it was pointing towards two things, I think. The first one is victory. When they do that, they're celebrating and saying that there is victory. And so whenever Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, they recognized this to be something that was happening that was victorious, that Jesus was victorious. But then the second thing is that whenever they would do something like this, the Jewish tradition would also say that there was a reception or a receiving of a king. And that is what's happening in this text, is that as Jesus is entering Jerusalem, they are receiving him as the Davidic king that is mentioned in Zechariah 9:9. And then they are saying and crying out, Hosanna, which is echoing the text of Psalm 118, verses 25 to 26. So what they're doing then is they're receiving Jesus as the king of Jerusalem. They are waving palm branches. They're laying things down at his feet. They're receiving him as the king. They're claiming victory. And they're crying out this word, Hosanna. And some of you might be wondering, well, what does the word Hosanna mean? Well, if you were to go to Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26, you would see Hosanna. It means save us. Hosanna means rescue us, Lord. Help. Salvation. Please. Hosanna is a call for us. When they cry this out, they're saying, we want the king to bring us salvation. So when you see these two texts of Zechariah 9:9 and Psalm 118:25-26 being fulfilled, we're seeing that God is fulfilling his promises and his prophecies, that the king that was promised in the Old Testament, he has come now in the person of Jesus Christ. And these people, this crowd is getting so excited. Can you just imagine this excitement in this event? To see Jesus entering the city. He's on this donkey, on this colt. And his disciples are following him. And people are just crying out for salvation. And they're saying, we have received the king. The king is here. I just think to be in that moment would be so amazing to think about. But the thing is that their expectation was off in some ways. See, though they were crying out Hosanna, and though they recognized that there was this Old Testament prophecy of this king to come, and they saw and they were claiming Jesus to be the king, it was not long after that they found out that Jesus was the unexpected king. Because when they were crying out Hosanna, and they were saying, save us or rescue us, they didn't recognize that Jesus was coming to rescue them, but in a different way. Because see, they were expecting him to be a messianic deliverer. He was wanting them, or wanting Christ to be a conquering king. He wanted Christ to come in. They wanted him to overthrow the Roman Empire and establish the Jewish tradition as the ultimate power, and him to sit on the throne and reign over them. So that's what they wanted. They wanted this messianic king. They recognized him as king, as the Messiah to come, but they wanted him to conquer Rome and do it their way. So they had a very specific expectation of their king. But as we see, Christ, he came very unexpectedly because he came humble on a donkey, it says. And in Zechariah 9:9, it speaks to that. It speaks to how he was coming humbly or lowly. And this isn't a king that comes on a horse or a chariot coming to exert his power and his authority and trying to tell people how they have to do things, and he's going to use his might to impose his will on them. Instead, this humble king, he is also fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 53 of the suffering servant. See, this king, he came not to conquer a government, but he came to conquer hearts and minds. He didn't come to necessarily save those from a financial burden, but he came to save your eternal soul. See, Jesus, he recognized that his kingdom was not of this world, as John 18:36 tells us. See, Christ was focused on the eternal, spiritual, heavenly kingdom. And I think that's so important to remember, that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, he was focused primarily on the spiritual. And I think this is a good question for us today as believers. Are you more focused on the physical? Are you focused on the things that you can tangibly see day to day? Is that what you prioritize? Is that what you put your hope in, your life in? Or do you recognize that these physical things will pass away? That you cannot put your hope in these physical things, whether it's, you know, your possessions, a physical relationship, your job, your finances. You cannot put your hope or your expectations in the physical. You need to prioritize the spiritual. And that's what Jesus is doing, I believe. Because it's interesting. So this text, you see that their reception of Christ seems to be very positive. So you might be wondering, well, why do I say that they're expecting this, you know, overthrowing king, or he's an unexpected king? It seems that they, you know, they were saying Hosanna and they were recognizing the prophecy. Well, at the very end of the text, you'll see something that it says, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. So when they say the world, obviously they're speaking with a hyperbole, and they're pointing to the fact that a large number had gone after him. But the reason that a lot of them did that, they had heard that he had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and they were hoping that he would overthrow Rome. But this same group, later in the text, majority of these people that are in the crowd, they follow the Pharisees, because the same people that are crying out Hosanna in this text, just a few days later, are the same people in the crowd that are crying out Crucify. So there are these people in this crowd that have this expectation of the king. And whenever he does not meet their expectation, when they get focused on the physical and it's not panning out the way they want, they went from Hosanna to Crucify. And I think that really speaks to us as people. How do you handle things in your life that go unexpectedly? Do you prioritize your expectations over God's plan for your life? I'm sure a lot of us are dealing with this pandemic, and we can all think that it's very unexpected. I don't think any of us expected it to be this big of a scale when it comes to how it impacts our lives and globally. It's unexpected for us. But God has a plan. And are you okay with God's plan, even if it doesn't meet your expectations? Because see, it looks like that happens all throughout Scripture, that man seems to have a plan, but God has a bigger plan for your life. And He's calling us to trust Him and submit to His plan. And I think that these two crowds, the Hosanna and the Crucify crowd, I think it's a warning for the church. Because there will be people that will be in worship this Sunday morning on Palm Sunday. There will be people that potentially are going to be watching this video. And these people might be saying, Lord, Lord. They might be saying, save me, give me help. They might be saying these things. But Matthew 7:21 gives us a very clear warning and reminder that there are people that will say, Lord, Lord. And then God will say, depart from me. I never knew you. If you're someone that only gives lip service and only says Lord and Hosanna when it's convenient, when it meets your expectations, are you someone that turns and becomes part of the Crucify crowd whenever God doesn't meet your will, your needs, your desires? Are you okay trusting in God, trusting in the King, regardless of the circumstances? Are you willing to submit your expectations and trust in the King's mission? Because it really comes down to that. It's either your will or God's will. You know, there's that quote that says, you'll either say, thy will be done or thy will be done. Do you place God's will above your own will in your life? See, that's the point of this text of these crowds, is that they need to receive the King, receive God's plan, submit to His mission and His will, even if it doesn't fit our own expectations, our own little box of how we think the world should be. We have to trust in God's mission. So what is the mission? Well, the mission is that the King came to save the world. So though some of these people in the crowd may have seen Jesus walking or riding on this donkey into Jerusalem, and they might be excited about this one day event, but this was the day that Jesus had planned from eternity past, and since the day that He became incarnate, He was preparing for. The 3 years of ministry in which He was preaching and leading His disciples was all culminating into this day and this final week of His life. Because Jesus knew, as the King, He was going to lay a sacrifice down on the altar, as Psalm 118 talks about. That same person who comes to rescue is the one that is going to bring and supply a sacrifice on the altar. So Jesus, when He was walking or traveling into Jerusalem, Jesus was committing Himself to be captured, to suffer, and to die. So the King came to die. And that's what will happen as we remember this Friday, which is Good Friday. The King will lay down His life. You see, the two crowds, Hosanna and Crucify, the King heard both of those crowds. And the King said yes to both of those crowds. See, the King heard them saying, save us, help us, rescue us. But He also heard, crucify Him. But what they didn't know, that the unexpected king was going to say yes to both, and he was going to accomplish his mission through Hosanna and through the cross. See, the king rescues and saves us because he went to the cross. He died on the cross for our behalf. He took the punishment of our sin. So we are called then to turn from our sin and trust in the king and his sacrifice, his provision for our life. The king came to Jerusalem for you. He was committed, he was resolved, and he fulfilled his promises and his plan. The king knew what he was doing, and he did it because he loves you. So when we come to celebrate and worship on Palm Sunday, it's a great day to rejoice because the king did come, but he was unexpected. And though he was unexpected, it was the greatest thing that we could have ever wished for. Because our expectations would have been caught all up in the temporal, in the physical, in the let's just have power in Rome at this time. But Jesus had so much greater, so much bigger of a plan for our lives. The king said, no, I want to offer and give you an eternal peace, eternal life. I want you to be a part of my kingdom forever. And that is why he came and willingly sacrificed himself for us. So, the unexpected king. I think we all should be very thankful for the unexpected king. And that brings us to our time where we will commune together. If you'd like to prepare your communion. See, communion, it's one of the few things that Christ has given us as a regular reminder in which we can fellowship and commune with the body of Christ, but we also surround ourselves and center ourselves on this gospel message in which the king left his throne, entered Jerusalem, and willingly sacrificed himself for us. And that's what these two elements represent. We have his broken body, and we have his shed blood. And when we partake of this together, we proclaim that sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And we also remember that he will return one day for those who have received him and trusted him as their Lord, as their King, and as their Savior. So let us say the Lord's Prayer together. And then once we have finished the prayer, you are free to partake. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us all for our Facebook Live service. We hope that you have a wonderful Palm Sunday together. And just please always remember to rejoice in the fact that you have a king that loves you and he gave himself for you. God bless everyone.